Good morning. We have a very action-packed daffin with Agarta once again here in Maseches Sota. Yesterday we had beautiful discussions from Sefer Yoshua, from Yosef HaTzadik, why we add an extra hey to his name, how he was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Again, I was very excited that my wife was, a teacher yesterday, and I was sharing with her some thoughts that we had in the shir, which was unbelievable that she could share over with her girls on the same day. Baruch Hashem, truly a daf yomi day. Let's continue now with that theme about people being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. The Gemara gave two examples yesterday. One was Yosef, and we had on a hay. Another one was the Gemara gave two examples. One was added on a hay. That was Yosef, sorry?
Yosef,
and we added a hey to Yehosef. There was another person.
Binyamin, we talked about.
There was another person whose whole name was a Kiddush Hashem, midway up on the Amud. Another one of the Shvatim. Yehuda. Excellent. And the Gemara described about midway up how it's not just we added on a letter, but the whole name is praising Hashem there. So let's pick up here two lines from the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Beis, where we can talk about Yehuda now. The Gemara discussed Yosef and the tremendous Kiddush Hashem that he made, as we discussed, even though it might be a gnai for him, that Yin Yaakov explained that no, it was really, it brought out his shvach, his praise, about how much he was able to truly overcome this temptation, which was supernatural, perhaps. But then we discussed also that it's not necessarily supernatural. Larry, thanks for the question you asked on the chat. I'm not sure the answer, but it's a good question. I like when our chat gets more people engaged in discussing, asking, and answering. It's great to share that other thought. By the way, that other thought is from Daf Notes. Feel free to ask me, or just to, I think, email info@dafnotes.com. They send out like a daily description of the Daf in English, and then they give a nice little insight at the end, a nice little mashal at the end, some nice stuff. So feel free to take a look. It's just a nice resource to have. Look at it on the go. Nice way to review. Certainly like a service level English review. So Yehuda Mahi, what was the way in which Yehuda was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim? The Tanya, and as I said, today we're going to be discussing a lot of Kriyas Yamsuf, not just the Yarding Slimbuk, but Kriyas Yamsuf. The Tanya Hayir Rabbi Meir Omer, Kshamdu Yisrael Aliyam, when the Bnei Yisrael were standing by the banks of the Yamsuf, Hayu Shvatim Menatzchem Zaymza, they were debating, they were fighting. Ze Omer Ani Yoreid Chiliyam, I'm going in first. This one said, I'm going in first. Who's jumping in first? They were fighting about it. Couldn't one of them just jump in first? It's discussed. Kafat Shifto Shel Binyamin. So, he did. Binyamin said, all right, I'm just going in. The yard at the Yam Tchila. Binyamin went in first. Shenemar Shem Binyamin Tzair Rodeim. A pasuk from Telem. It says, there Binyamin, who was the youngest one, Rodeim literally means rules them. Al tikrei rodeim ela rad yam, jumped into the water, descended into the water. What did Yehuda, the shevet of Yehuda, do? Are you sorry, Yehuda? Rog mimosam. They pelted them with stones. Shenemar sorry, Yehuda, ragmatam. The fika. So what does Binyamin get for jumping in first? Zocha Binyamin hatzadik. Interesting. Binyamin hatzadik. Do we ever have that?
No,
I just realized that right now. We have Yosef hatzadik. That's what we're about to say, yeah. V'nasa u'shbizchon ligvura. He became the host to Hashem Shechina. Shenemar, uven k'seifav shachein. Right? Uven k'seifav shachein, which describes how the shevet of Binyamin literally had the Beis HaMikdash in his portion.
But his kefir's in a totally different...
Correct. Ever seen Binyamin Hatzadik, David? Ever seen the name Binyamin Hatzadik?
In his kever, yeah.
Yeah? It says that?
It doesn't say it. It says it inside, yeah.
Interesting.
It's in Kfalsav.
So you guys have to look at this Tosfos here. This Tosfos is...
He didn't doubt that he's Avida.
That's true.
Interesting. But Tzadik, we've heard a great pshat. Who's called Tzadik in the Torah?
Yes.
There are two people in Torah called Tzadik. In the Chumash. Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Not Tanakh. Not Nach. Yosef. Who else is referred to as a tzaddik? Come on.
Only Noach.
Yes, thank you. Only Noach and only Yosef. So it can't be that the Torah refers to tzaddikim as those who don't bow down to Esav. What is the common denominator? I've heard this a while ago from Rabbi Rosner. What is the common denominator between Noach and Yosef, which wouldn't apply to Binyamin here? I wasn't intending to bring this up, and now that you guys brought this up.
There's the thing with the seas is a common denominator, kind of, water-wise.
Interesting. But that wouldn't answer why the Torah
calls them tzaddik.
Calls the Chamish Kamshi Torah calls them both tzaddik.
Because they walk with Hashem more than anybody else.
So the answer I heard brought down was because they were both mefarnes, the world. They both sustain the world. Through them, the world sustained physically by feeding Noach on the Teva. He fed all the animals, the people that were alive, food, material food. The ability to sustain came through him. And we know, of course, by Yosef also. I'm not sure if there's anybody else in the Torah, in Chamisha from the Torah.
Yeah, but he also destroyed the world. Or he didn't destroy it. God destroyed it.
Anyways, Tzarech Ian, why Binyamin has a tzaddik here, where else he's called tzaddik, Binyamin. But besides for that, take a look at the Toph Tosus. He brings down a beautiful mushal, a medrash. Yisari Yehuda Rug Musum, Rog Min Osun. Kach Shnei Brais Lebim Chilton, says the Medrash. Mashal Ma'adav Erdome, Lemelech Basar Adam, Shehayu Lo Shnei Banim. A king's got two kids. Echad Gadol V'echad Katon. A big one and a small one. Amar L'Katon, and you'll see the way this is referenced in our Gemara, by the way Tosus describes this. Echad Gadol V'echad Katon, a big one and a small one. Amar L'Katon, Hamidanim Im Ha'Netzachama. He tells his youngest kid, hey son, wake me up by sunrise. Amar L'Gadol Ha'Minim B'Gimel Shos, wake me up at about 9 a.m., you know. I want to have a late start to the day. So the child comes to wake him up in Eitzachama. But the older son says, what are you doing? Dad told me not to wake him up until later. Amarlo, the child says, so the little one says, no, not until 3 hours in, Shos. But the baby says, the younger one says, not dad told me by sunrise. Mitok shahayu omdim tzuhuvin nor avien. That because the father sees that they're both passionate about waking him up, Amar Lehi responds to the both of them, B'nai, mikol makom, shnechem lo kivantem elo lechvodi. Regardless of this little debate you're having here right now, both of you only want to serve me. You want to do my will. What my will is, you both are arguing about because you both heard a separate thing from me. Afani lo ekapach es scharchem. So too, I will not withhold from you my schar, or your schar. Maschar not lu shvato shel Binyamin, right? What did Binyamin's schar share to Tchil Yam? So in this example, of course, Yehuda's the older son who wanted to wait until the sea would split. He wanted them to hold back a little bit longer. Binyamin was the younger son who jumped in first, who wanted to wake him up earlier. What was Binyamin's schar? Shesharso shechina v'chelko. As we said, shenemar b'chulu, as we just said in the Gemara, uveng seifav shochein, the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh HaKodeshim rested in his portion. Umaschar notlu shvato shel Yehuda, zochel malchus. Right? The Gemara brings down the Tosfos brings down the pasuk. Yehuda was zochel malchus. Just the Merome Sada explains Tosfos magnificently, gorgeously. What's Tosfos referring to? I alluded to it before. The whole night before the Yom Sof split, what was taking place? There was a very strong wind. And what was that wind doing? It was pushing the water back. What did Yehuda feel? Let's wait. Guys, don't jump in yet. Let's have Hashem continue to naturally push this water back. And right up until at the end, all of a sudden we'll just run through, but it won't have to be a big open miracle. Let's do this naturally. That's what Hashem wants. Binyamin said, no, open miracle. Let's show the world that God's really with us. Let's do an open miracle. Let's jump in now while the sea hasn't fully receded yet. Oh, says the Merome Sada, that explains their schar. What was Yehuda's schar? Malchus. Let's rule the world through the natural order. What was Binyamin's schar? Kodesh HaKodashim. 10 miracles open on a daily basis. What happened there in the Beis HaMikdash? Different ways to serve Hashem. Wake me up early, wake me up later. Not really sure what the Father wants in Tosfos. But both of them being right in terms of wanting to serve Hashem, just a question of how and what they believe that Hashem wants, which reminds us today that sometimes we have little spats, little debates within Judaism. What is the right thing for us to do? This or that, different angles on the way we serve Hashem. And it's not necessarily that one's right and wrong. We have to be very, kind of, it's a sensitive subject. I'm not going into details, but we have to recognize that each of us are hopefully trying to be mechavim l'shem shemayim and appreciate that about each other. Then we're going to be hopefully rewarded accordingly. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, sorry?
In the process, though, we shouldn't be really throwing stones at somebody. I mean, I don't get that.
Tzarech Ian. Yeah. Tzarech Ian. Thank you.
What?
Tzarech Ian. You're right. The immersion discussed what the stones. Well, wait. Yeah, it's. I don't remember an answer. But why Yehuda started throwing stones, I don't know. I don't know. That was a pshat that I don't remember. You know, we always hear, Nachshon ben Aminadav! Not like Binyamin ran in, he was pelting them with stones. Like, can you imagine? The Egyptians are behind, they're shooting arrows. All of a sudden, Binyamin runs in, like, what are you doing? They're throwing stones at him. I don't know, this is a part of a... This is one I wasn't so familiar with, but Baruch Hashem.
It's talking about the Shemitz.
Yeah.
A lot of people throwing stones,
3 million people standing. Is the women and kids going
like
in there
a,
too?
It's like a form of a food fight or something.
The only thing that I can think of is that stones are the like epitome of Teva. They represent Teva. Yehuda was using Teva.
That would be very interesting. That would tie in beautifully to what the Rami Sada explains to us. You got to take this to us. Okay. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Lo kach hayamaisa? Nah, that's not what happened. Ela ze omer, an ena niyorit tchila, veze omer ena yorit tchila. They're both saying, I'm not going in right now, I'm not going in right now. So what happened, this is perhaps what we're more familiar with, is Kafatz Nachshon ben Aminadav. Nachshon ben Aminadav, from Shevet Yehuda, viyar liyam tchila. He jumped in. Shnemar sivavuni bechacha shefrayim. There was falsehood surrounding me, a pasuk from Hosea. Uve mirma beis Yisrael, the deceit of beis Yisrael, v'Yehuda od rad am kel. And Yehuda, from the shevet of Yehuda, they jumped into the water first. V'alav mefarish bekabbalah, and that's what we understand from Sefer Tehillim, Hoshieni Elokim, Hashem, please save me, ki bo maim anafesh. The water's coming up to my soul, literally, we know that it was past his nose, right? Tibati Bivain Mitsula, I'm sinking into the shadowy depths, the Ain Ma'amad Bahulu, and I have no savior. Al Tishtafani Shiboles Mayim, don't allow the currents to overtake me. Al Tivlaini Mitsula Bahulu, don't allow me to get swallowed again by the shadowy depths. But Osa Shah, what was taking place right then and there? Is Nachshon's jumping in? Is the Bnei Israel's arguing who's going in, who's not going in? What's Moshe doing right at that time? Yeah, Yemoshe Marach Mitzvila. He's davening to Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yedidai, Tovim Bayam. My beloved children are drowning at sea, right? They're jumping in. Vata Marach Mitzvila Lefanai. And you are davening in front of me?
It's an amazing saying.
Aren't we supposed to be davening? What else are we supposed to be doing? Isn't Tefillah... So, yesh laharach b'zeh, but to be makatzer b'zeh, just to bring on two of the mefarshim. The Marsha seems to say that in times of real sakana, it's not the time, it's the time to do action, it's not the time to be marich b'tfila. The Rishonim Yitzchak Rabbi Halacha brings that down a little bit more, and he describes that ma'isim tovim, certainly opportune times, can have a greater schus than tefillah. And therefore, perhaps what Hashem's telling Moshe is, don't just talk to me, like, do, jump in, go, this is the time to do. And I remember hearing a while ago that the schusin that the Bnei Yisrael needed, again, was the emuna, right? They had the emuna, they were being saved for the emuna, as we discussed a few days ago. So jumping in would be a representation of that emuna, not just davening, but really taking action based on the emuna, and then Hashem can respond accordingly. But certainly more here, but just it's nice to see it inside. Amar lefana, ribono shalom. So Moshe says back to Hashem, umabi adi lasos. What can I possibly do? Amar lo, darbo b'nei sov yisu. Right, go, v'atah remes matcha, unetei sadcha v'chulu. Right, do, take action. Pick up your stick and go. Lefikach zocha Yehuda lasos memshela b'Yisrael. Right, wrapping this up, as we said before, Yehuda jumping in, or Yehuda or Binyamin, or Yehuda stoning Binyamin. Yehuda merited the memshela, the kingship of Yisrael. Shemar haisa Yehuda kacho v'Yisrael mamshelosav. Matam Haisa Yehuda Likacho Yisrael Mam Shlosov. What was the reason why he's now going to become the king? Mishum Dayam Ra'a Vayanos. I take on Oz Yashir because he jumped in. The Meshech Chachma explains that Yehuda became the king. The coronation symbolizes faith and intellect over emotion. The king, as we said before, from the Merom Sada, is within Derech Teva. It's ruling the world through Hashem. And it's ruling the world in a way that the Meshech Chachma explains is that it's not just emotion about theoretically being afraid over the water, but it's faith and intellect in terms of deciding, okay, this is the right thing for me to do, I'm going to do it. Intellect, faith in Hashem, and taking action, rather than just being overcome by emotion. And a king can't have pure emotion. That's not a way to really rule.
Melech. Moach, Lev, Gilaim.
Wow.
And Moach is Shalit. And the Lev and Gilaim, it's all in line.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Meshech Chachma, beautiful. Beautiful. Tanya, okay. Let's get back to Har Grizim and Har Eval. Okay, back to Sefer Yehoshua. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Yef Shalom Levi Lamata Shekvar Nemar Lamala. We said before that we had 6 Shvatim on both of the mountains. We had a 3-way machlokas yesterday as to which Shvatim were on which mountains. But now, we all agreed, though, that Levi was in the middle. That's why we had a question yesterday. If Levi's in the middle, how is Har Grizim more than Har Eval? And we answered, how did we answer yesterday? Because?
More people.
More people in Shevet?
Yosef.
Excellent. More people in Shevet Yosef. And therefore, they compensated for Shevet Levi being in the middle. So, says the Gemara right here, we can say that Levi's in the middle because it says that they were above. We can say they were above because it says that they were below. So where is Shevet Levi? Rashi brings down the psuk in here on top, in the last wide line. Shekvar Nemar Levi Lamala, because it says in the Torah, right? Moshe Kosova Torah El Yamdu Levarech Lechulu Shimon Levi Vihuda. Right? That seems to say that they're above Shimon Levi Vihuda up on the mountain. Shekvar Nemar Levi Lamata, but say for Yoshua, Bahar Grizim, and our Eval, because it says there, it brings down the pasuk there, it seems to say that they're below. So where is Shevet Levi? Are they above? Are they below? It seems to be a contradiction between the various psukim in the Torah. Ha-Ketzad, so what took place? Zikne Kahuna Vilavia Lamata.
David said that the other day. No, David, didn't you say that not all the Levim were down?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think
they were.
That makes sense because not all of them were really Levi.
Like the women.
Hmm?
Like the women.
Not just the women, but also the men. Not all of them were actually Levim or Kohanim.
Well, they were all Levim, meaning from Shevet Levi.
They're all from the same Shevet, but they weren't priests. They were from the Shevet, but they weren't considered priests.
You mean they weren't on active duty?
Not that they weren't on active duty. Serving? They didn't have the actual status of being a Levi or being a Kohen.
And that's exactly what the Gemara is going to explain. As we'll see. So you're certainly being mechamed to the Gemara here. Excellent. So, ha-ketzad, how's this case? Zikne kuna v'levia lamata, v'ashar lamala. Rabbi Yoshia Omer, kol ha-roi l'shoris lamata. And whoever was fit to serve, meaning what's the type of Levi that you're referring to, perhaps, David, is kol ha-roi l'shoris, which was what age bracket? 30 to 50, right?
That sounds
30 to 50.
That's more correct.
Right? Isn't it 30 to 50, right?
It's small. I remember it's small. I think 50 is the end mark.
Yeah, 50 is the end mark, and I thought it was not 20, but I think 30, if I remember correctly. Anyways, but it's either it's 20 or 30 to 50. So you're right. They're all Levium technically. They're B'nai Levi, but they don't have the status of being a Mishares. V'hashar lamala. Young, the old, the women, they were lamala.
30 to 50.
Great. Baruch Hashem. Rabbi Omer, Eilu ve'elu lamata him omdin. No. Rabbi says everybody was below, but hafhu pneihem klapei hargrizim. Meaning everybody, I think that everybody, like all of Klal Yisrael, I think Rabbi says. It wasn't just Levi, but it was all B'nai Yisrael, nobody actually went up to these two separate mountains, but they just kind of turned their heads. So they were kind of split towards turning their heads towards the mountains by the brachos and the klal. So, hafchu p'neim klapei har grizim u'pasku b'bracha. They turned towards har grizim and they said the bracha. Klapei har eval u'pasku b'klal. Then they turned towards har eval and they had the bracha. So says the Gemara, wait, but if Rebbe says that they weren't actually on the mountain, my al, then what does the word al mean? It says, the Torah says they were on the mountain.
Until the mountain. Mm-hmm. If you say la, you go under the mountain. La ha would be onto it, and al is like you get.
It's so funny because I thought my intuition is exactly the opposite. Li, I'm going to it, but not necessarily on it.
Al yaday
is next to.
I think it talks about Avram when it actually refers to him. It says al. Like he's talking about God, and he used the term Al, and then they right afterwards, Le, it actually goes to God.
Interesting.
I think it's Al, not
100%. So the Gemara is going to bring down some proof. So my Al Basamach, you're right. Like some of you are saying, Al doesn't actually mean on, but it can mean right near it, next to it. Kedetanias, we have a Brisa. Venasata Al Hamareches Levona Zaka. That you should put on the 12 lechem aponim in the heichal the frankincense. Rebbe Omer al besamach. That you don't put them actually on top of the breads, but kind of right near the breads, right between the breads, and therefore al venasata al hamareches. This proves that al is not right on top of it, but it's right near it. Atomer al besamach alinu elo al mamash. Still, wait. You know, you bring one proof from breads, but maybe still al is generally on top. Kshuomer visakosa al haaron. But when we have another pasuk which describes that the parocha should be on top of the aron visakosa al haaron haviomer al besamach, we know that really it wasn't standing vertically on top of it, but it was more horizontal, and therefore it wasn't actually standing on top of the aron, but it was kind of al besamach. That's what Gemara here confirms. So I'm not sure if the Gemara's move here right now is to say that Rebbe is right, that they were not on our Grizim and our Eval, because we had a Machlokas here. Or they're just not proving Rebbe wrong. Right? Is the Gemara's move here that every time it says Al, it means next to, and therefore the other Manda Amrim are wrong, that they were actually on our Grizim and on our Eval, and everybody we had before, six and... Or is it just that Rebbe's not necessarily refuted because Al could mean next to?
Practically speaking, I mean, think about all these people climbing up a mountain. Have you ever been there? I mean, it's not an easy climb. For me, it wasn't easy. And, you know, I'm just thinking that also in the context of being able to hear, it had to be somewhere where they could hear.
Good. So we have to understand down, on that note.
And down in the valley, you have, you know, the acoustics.
Echo and stuff. You're absolutely right. Yeah. This is following 40 years in the desert, but that was more miraculous.
Yeah.
Hashem brought them in, and we started our Gemara a couple days ago, and we said that there were many miracles that happened on that day, right? Many miracles happened on that day. What was that day? Borei kamanisa nasu bosayom, lamed vav amad aleph, right up there on top.
Yeah.
Beginning of Esrei's daf. Great miracles happened on that day. Av Yisrael esayardu nubolar grizim ul... Ulhar Eval, Yoser Mishishim Mil. They travel more than 60 kilometers. This is without the Ananei Kavod, and this is without their Tzira bird pelting. Right? Right. Meaning there were miracles on that day. So I wouldn't necessarily defenestrate the pshat of the owl not being on because they couldn't get up based on that.
It's
a great point.
Yeah, it's like Elliot. Lazar, they wanted to find a wife for Yitzchak. He got there really fast. A lot faster than the others.
Kvitzas Sadera. Absolutely.
Yeah, it could be the same story.
Let's continue.
The other thing I was going to say is, Al doesn't necessarily mean on top of. It could mean Al meaning on the side of also.
Exactly. So that's what the Gemara is referring to. Meaning Al on the side of. They were Al Har Grizim, Al Har Eval. It's not necessarily on top of it, but they were on the side of it, and they just kind of turned towards, to look towards it. So it's like they were on it, because that's where they were situated, perhaps divided into Shvatim, but they didn't actually travel up, they just kind of looked that way. Absolutely. says Eliezer, says Gemara, Baruch Hashem. Hafel upenem klaper, agrees with possible bracha b'chula, right? Tan Rabbanan, it was said there, Baruch b'chlal, Baruch b'prat. In terms of the actual brachos and klalos, there seemed to be a general observance of every bracha, and then Baruch b'prat, there was an actual specification of what of what the mitzvah was. Aruch b'chlal, and then Aruch b'prat. Again, there was more generalization and specification on each one. On every mitzvah, there seemed to be this, like, four. It was lilmod ulalamed, lishmor v'lasos. There's also an element of there being four separate notions to each mitzvah that was being said, that we all have an obligation to learn every mitzvah, to teach every mitzvah, to keep every mitzvah, and to do every mitzvah. Lishmor v'lasos. What's the difference between lishmor and lasos? Lishmor is to keep, guard, maybe guarded. Maybe it's the sur meira, and then the aseh tov. So that would work, but then it wouldn't work that there's four for every mitzvah. Because there's lav and there's aseh's. I don't know the answer, but just bring it out. Hare arba. Arba v'arba. Now this is a little bit of math that I was trying to wrap my head around last night. If anybody can help me, that'd be great. So arba v'arba. Hare shmona. 4 plus 4 is... It's not a trick question. Great. Shmona v'shmona is?
16.
Thank you. 16. Great, thank you. So there's four elements to each mitzvah, right? There was lomod lamed lishmar v'lasos. There was baruch b'tchlal and baruch b'prat. So we have two sides to every mitzvah. There's a general do the mitzvah, and then there's the specification of the mitzvah. So 4 plus 4 is 8. Then I guess there's the other side of Aror, cursed 4 and 4. Not 4 and 4, because, yeah, I guess...
Squared 4 times 4 is 16.
Right, right. I'm not sure exactly how we get to 16, but it's...
4 times 4 is 16.
Right, but what brings you to the 8 plus 8?
Well, the Aror in each mitzvah, maybe it's not that the... Aror is not a mitzvah.
So the Aror is within
the
mitzvah.
You have the bruch if you do the mitzvah.
And the cloth
if
you don't do the mitzvah. So then you're...
Every mitzvah, you have 16...
So then... So then the aura is the lomo delame lishma velasos. The aura goes on each of these four. Seemingly,
there's
right?
There's an extra star and an extra...
For each part of these four also. No, Ali?
I don't know. Rashi says shmona v'shmona. Ha'ika od shmona lishma velasos. Like the 8 is for lishma velasos. Not for the aura.
In each mitzvah, you have these...
But that's because in each mitzvah, there's the klal and prat... within the bracha and the klal plot within the aror. So if you have, so it just depends how you slice the 8 and the 16.
Four dimensions. Limo lasos.
Limo delame, lishma lasos.
Those four are four aspects. So if you're mekayim the mitzvah, there are also four things that you're missing if you're not mekayim the mitzvah. And so then you have the aror and the bracha and the times 2, and so that gives you 16 aspects of...
16 aspects of each mitzvah.
Reminds me of what the chachamim were talking about in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Everybody had a different concept of the numbers.
Oh. Great. V'chein b'Sinai. So too when Hashem told us about the mitzvos and the veros on Har Sinai. V'chein b'Arvos Moav. And Hashem also, that's where he taught us about Arvos Moav. Those three times when Hashem taught us the Torah, we have these 16 elements to each mitzvah. Shenemar, Elu Divrei Habris, Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, v'chulu. Uksiv, Ushmartem Es Divrei Habris, Hazoks, v'chulu. Right, there's 16 times, and Hashem taught us the Torah three times. So, in essence, every mitzvah has how many associated with it? How many, every mitzvah has how many
facets
to it? Thank you. 16 times 3?
40.
Sorry?
40.
Good, it's like a little math lesson. Excellent.
You can read Rashi.
Look at
Rashi.
Tough. That's a good thing to do. Right, so Nimsa, or read the Gemara, right here. Nimsa mem ches brisos, I'll call mitzvah u'mitzvah. We see there's 48 facets. That's a great word, Uri, thank you. There's 48 facets to each and every mitzvah that we have, or each and every avera, or each and every avera also, right?
What's the mitzvah? If you do Mekayim the mitzvah, you have the star aspect, the facets, and it also has other aspects.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Okay.
This translation calls it covenants, not facets.
Oh, okay.
What else is 48, by the way?
48 paths.
Oh, 48 paths to what? Ah, Perek Vav in Pirkei Avos is 48 ways to acquire Torah. 48. What else is 48? We sing it on Friday night. A word, a gematria. Chayil. Gematria 48. Eshes Chayil, a woman who allows these 48 facets of the Torah to be created, Eshes Chayil, or an Anshe Chayil, is 48 facets to the Torah.
What else? Moach. Is it Melech? Moach.
Moach is 48, right?
Mem Ches. Moach is supposed to be in charge.
Beautiful. Fantastic. Rabbi Shimon Omer Hargris of Arevo, Lamachnas Olmoide, Shabimid. No. You're right. There are three times where we were taught all these aspects of the Torah, but says Rabbi Shimon that we take out our Grisim and our Evo because we weren't taught the entire Torah there, and we put in the Olmoide of the Midbar. That's where we were taught this third full body of the Torah. Ubeplugta Dahani Tanoi, and this Machlokas, perhaps of which times we were taught the Torah, is like the following Machlokas. Tanoim, the Tanoim we learned in a Brisa. Rebbe Yishmol Omer, Klolos Nemru B'Sinai, that we had the Klolos, the generalization set over by Sinai, Uprotos B'Ol Moed, but the specifications were set over by the Ol Moed. So the Ol Moed isn't a separate teaching of the Torah in the Midbar, but it was a continuation of Har Sinai. That's one general receiving of the Torah. Rabbi Akiva Omer, this is the whole Torah. Seems like we were taught the whole Torah three times. That's each mitzvah then becomes 48, because each mitzvah is now 16. We just did the math before together. Times three times that we were taught it is 48. Those are the 48 aspects to every mitzvah. Depth, deep here, but just kind of make sure that we have pshat. Rabbi Akiva Omer, close to Protos Nemer B'Sinai, that the Klolos and Protos are set over by Sinai, the Nishnu ba'Ol Moed. Rabbi Kiva says, no, it wasn't that Har Sinai and the Ol Moed was one continuation of teaching of the Torah, but rather, the Klolos and Protos were set by Sinai, the Nishnu ba'Ol Moed, and they were also taught in the Ol Moed, the Nishtal Shu Arvos Moav, and then for the third time wasn't Arvos Moav, and therefore, the Machlokes is, was the Torah taught on Har Sinai, and then by the Ol Moed, or just once, it was one general teaching of the Torah. Why did the Torah... Why was it given in three spots? Explains the Shemesh Shmuel beautifully. Har Sinai, or similar to what you were saying before, Har Sinai is the intellect. It was to understand it. The Ol Moed was some form of like nefesh. It's where the Mishkan was. It's where we sheft animals. That's more of the nefesh behind it. And the Arvos Moav was more of the guf, perhaps going into Eretz Yisrael is the guf. It's the full body experience. That was Arvos Moav. So again, it's some element of, says the Shem Yishmuel, the different ways that we take in the Torah, the different aspects that they are, which that's why they can all come together towards being 48, because it's not just the same Torah being taught, but it's hitting us in a different facet each time. Continues the Gemara. V'ein l'chal kol dvar mitzvah u'mitzvah sheksu v'torah shelo nichrasu aleh arbaim u'shmona brisos. That means that for each and every mitzvah, we have 48 brisos for every single mitzvah. Rishon ben Yehuda, ish kfar ako, Amar, Mishum, Rabbi Shimon. That's Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. The man from Akko says the name of another Rabbi Shimon. In lecho mitzvah mitzvah shekshuv b'Torah shelo nechasur ale arbar mishmona brisos. Shel, not just 48, but shel sheish meos elef u'shloshes alofim v'chamesh meos v'chamishim. Quick little quiz, how much is that? It's hard to put that together. Okay, I'll tell you. No,
635,000.
No, not almost. No.
You're looking at Russian.
603,550. Again, look at it. Sheish meos elef. 603,000. Ushloshes alef. Not ushloshes. Ushloshes. So 603,000. Vachamish meos vachamishim. 603,550. What does that amount to? The number of people at Har Sinai. Okay? Amar Rebbe. And therefore he says that because there were 603,550 people at Har Sinai, so you're not only taking the 48 and leaving it as 48 aspects, but every single mitzvah, and Avera, has, I don't know the math here, but if anybody can do that quickly, that'd be super cool.
That's 48.
48 times 603,550, those are the aspects to the Torah to each and every mitzvah that we have.
Yeah, but that's why it's not really like facets. That's why it's covenants.
It's not just that the art school. From the beginning, it was Memchas, Brisos.
Brisos. Right. Okay, great. It's a covenant. Yeah. Covenants, right.
You're bound in that many different
right.
ways.
Right.
The Shem Yishvuah by the 48 was nice to call it a facet because there was the different ways in which we were taught each one.
In the beginning, it sounded
right.
more like facet,
mm-hmm.
right?
Be right. Now it's more Brisos.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It means like that for every person who heard it or for each one it was something else?
For every...
For every person there was 600,000, or for each person it was a different mitzvah?
Each and every mitzvah that we have?
Yeah.
There are, according to this opinion, of Rabbi Shimon ben Ish Kfar Akko, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, there are 603,550 multiplied by 48 brisos to every single mitzvah that we have.
Well, I understand, but does that bris apply to each person? Everybody has all of them?
Seemingly,
or it's split
yeah.
up that way?
Seemingly for every mitzvah, for every person. Mm-hmm. Because that's the number of people, right? Not divided by, but those were the number of people that were there, so it just multiplied the brisos of every single thing. But by the way, those weren't the number of people by Aras Moav. Those weren't the number of people. So why do we concretize that number down there? Also,
because that's where the bris was, the initial bris.
Initial bris, but then we had another bris soon. I mean, so that established it for the next two times we were taught the Torah? In Olam Moed, according to this? So the souls, but don't we have 600,000 souls? Yisrael, right? Yisrael, Yishishim Ribui Oksios the Torah. Yeshurun, Yishishim Ribui Neshamos.
That's also not exact.
So, right, so is this number exact?
Letters in the Torah. The number of letters in the Torah. That's the number of souls.
Which one is? 600,000 or this? 603,550. How many actual letters are there?
It's not 600,000 in the Torah.
Is it 603,000?
I don't. And 550, I'm not sure.
Okay. Excellent. Okay, so, anyways, more to
start. Yeah, regarding what Shalom was saying, so I think what Rashi is bringing down is that the 600,000 whatever times 48, it's the point is because everyone's an Arev to each other.
Oh, that's what Gemara's going to bring down. Excellent.
Oh. Sorry.
Good. No, good. You're absolutely right. So here we go. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I didn't realize the commercial.
So where did we just leave off? Amar Rebbe. L'divrei Rebbe Shimon ben Yehuda, Ish Kfar Akko, Shnemar Mishum Rebbe Shimon, Ein Chol Kometzo Mitzvah Sheva Torah Shlo Nichasu Ala Arba Mishmona Briso, Shel Shel Shmeyos Elef, Shel Shmeyos Alofim, Vechamei Shmeyos Vechamishim. Okay, that's just kind of repetitive. That was like a Daf Yomi 5 liner where you just, you know, repeat what you said before. Nimsal chol echad v'echad nisol sheish miyos elf v'shlo shes alofim v'chamesh miyos v'chamishim. Okay, but
in Tetris when you connect.
You know when those names, Mishom, you get like named after name after and tasty 5 lines? Anyways. So, right, so therefore we have this. So my be now, so what's the difference between these opinions? Amar Misharsha Arva, the Arva the Arva Ikabinar. You're right. Wait, sorry. I think he multiplies that. Nimson called Echad Echad Misral, Sheish Meos Elvish, Loshus Alof, Vechamesh Meos Vechamishim, right? So therefore we have there, every one of B'nai Yisrael has 603,550. Multiplied or not multiplied? I think 600. Anyways, what's the difference between these opinions? I think the opinions of whether or not it's 48 period or 603,550 times 48, the two opinions before, is Amar Rav Misharsha, Arva, Va'arva de Arva, Ikabinar. Are we just an Arev in areas where we can have an effect? Or, like, the fact that there's Arvas to do the obligation and to write around us to have that obligation done? Or is it Arva de Arva? Can we actually start to perpetuate that for, and then we're Arevim to the other Arevim, and it's a network effect that it's not just in our immediate circles.
That would be exponential.
So for instance, if you take a look here, just to kind of read this here inside, it says, to illustrate the dispute in the art school, Reuven knows that Shimon, who's a friend of Levi, and his influence over him, is aware that Levi is sinning, yet is doing nothing to stop him. So somebody knows that somebody else is doing nothing to stop his friend. If Reuven does not admonish Shimon for his dereliction, Ali, word of the day, then even if Reuven himself has no influence over Levi, he will, according to Rebbe, be punished for Levi's comments. According to Rebbe Shimon ben Yehuda, however, while Reuven will be punished for Shimon's covenants for not admonishing Levi, he will not be punished for Levi's covenants. So it's a question of how far does this go?
It's a question of whether it's exponential or whether it's linear.
Right.
Meaning, I have a chiyuv on him, even though he's 3 degrees of separation, but it doesn't mean that it's also responsible for the three guys in the middle at that on that one.
Excellent. Excellent. Excellent.
Do they read this
with
potential gear in?
Oh, so the Mefarshim, excellent. I wasn't going to go into it, but the Mefarshim here discuss. Who do we discuss, by the way? Not just Karen, but who else isn't included in the 600 and 3,000? Who else? Who else? Who else?
Women.
Women. Children. Yeah. Are we an Arif to women?
Yeah.
Are they an Arif to us? Can they be
Motzi
us in Kiddush? Other types of mitzvos. Sure. These questions all come up based on this Gemara, is that if there's a Arifus for this number, kids up to what age? 20? 13? Right here, that's the discussion, though, is to the Gerim weren't there, or were they there, were they not there? Which part of them were there? Are they included? Oh, so are they included in this number? The Mefarshim here discussed those things based on this Gemara right here, and that numbers to how exponential that is. Excellent question. Darash Rabbi Yehuda ben Nachmani miturgimina to Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. So says Rabbi Yehuda ben Nachmani, who was the spokesperson for Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, kol parsha kulo nemer el ben noif v'noefes. All this, the following curses, and in the article again, they bring down a list of what the blessings and what the curses were on Har Gerizim and Har Eval, but it's describing that the general concept or the general topic here is about adultery, right here. Ara ish asher yasa fesel umasecha v'chulu. That when we talk about the building a statue, it's some sort of reference to noef and noefes, adultery. But ara sagile. So wait, is it just a curse? Ela zeh haba al ha'erva. What is this referring to? It's somebody who comes onto an erva, a married lady, the whole ben and has a ben. And what status is this ben? If
mamzer.
He's a mamzer, the halach lovin of the kovim, and because he's a mamzer, he doesn't fit into klal Yisrael. He's going to go hang out with the wrong people, right? And he's going to start hanging out with the idol worshippers. The avad of avodas kovim, and what's going to result is that he's going to start serving avodas kovim. Therefore, a ruin of Vivi Imoshel Zeh Shekach Garmulo. That amazing. In the curse about the parents, Orha Ish Ashriyasa Fesel Umasecha, that's referring to parents who are adulterers, who have kids who then go and serve. The parents are responsible for that. Amazing. Tarnabon and
Venice. Back to the Limo Lamed, the whole thing. It's not just over on the Maisa, the Orha that they're getting is from the trickle, the Grama, which probably has to do with some of those families.
Beautifully, right? And then the Arevos too. Because they're responsible for the excellent. Why repeat the fact that it was on our grizim and on her evil? Because we have another pasuk that says Eli Yamdu Levar Chesam Alar Grizim Muksev Eli Yamdu Al Kol Bar Evil. We already know Kolos on our evil and the brachos on her on the other mountain. Ela Hakdim Bracha L'Klola. What's it coming to say is that the brachos came before the klolos. Yachol you call a brachos kodemus the klolos. Maybe I thought that all the brachos came and then all the klolos came. Tam Lomar, no. Bracha uklola is bracha achas kodemus the klola. Then call a brachos kodemus the klolos. And it wasn't just all the brachos and all the klolos, but it was bracha klola, bracha klola. Maybe that ties in also to the ways in which we counted 4 plus 4 plus 8 is 16, is because each bracha or each element in each mitzvah had a bracha and klola, and it was 4 and then it was 8 for each, and then it was 16 because each of them was packaged up that way. Ulhakish bracha klola lomar lcha. What's it going to teach us? Ma klola bilvim. So too, the Levim taught it all. Just like a klala was loud, the bracha is loud. Just like the klala is lashon hakodesh, af bracha b'lashon hakodesh. Is that we started this whole Gemara. What is in Hebrew? Remember this thing us all the way back, right before the Mishnah, full circle. What is in lashon hakodesh? We said Parsha Sotah is in lashon hakodesh. What else? Brachas and klala on our grizim and our evil. Bring this all the way back after Yosef ben Yehuda and exciting stories. Bring us all the way back. Umakola, the klala prat, just like the klala was the specifications. And the generalization, Afracha b'klal prat, ma'klala el ve'el olin v'omer amen. Just like the klala, everybody said amen. Afracha el ve'el olin v'onin amen. So to afterwards, everybody says amen. By the way, there's one of them that was more general. So there were 11 specifics and one more general. What was the general bracha and the klala? Or asher lo yokim es divrei ha'torah hazos. And the Mefarshim say here, this is the general, this kind of overshadowed everything to show how much respect has to be allocated towards Torah, not just learning Torah, but showing respect towards Torah itself, because Baruch Asher Yochem Es Divrei Torah Zos, we can imagine that the 48 plus whatever numbers, up to the millions, tens of millions of brisos that are around, that is huge. And therefore, I'd like to say that as we look ahead, 6:45, but as we look ahead, Bezrat Hashem, in about a week and a half, we're going to be making Siyum on Maseches Sota, which is an unbelievable thing, There were 48 daf in Masechta Sota, by the way. It's 49, but it starts on daf Beis. Unbelievable.
Oh, right?
Yeah, Hashem. So, and if I do remember correctly, if I check the calendar correctly, it's on Zos Chanukah, the 8th day of Chanukah, that we're going to make the Siyum. I was thinking just an idea, and we feel free to share it, to give the Kavod Torah to all of us that have been able to be here. Perhaps we'll do some sort of Siyum in the shul. Maybe we'll sponsor a breakfast Friday. Maybe we'll buy some bagels and stuff so people can sit down and wash for a few minutes after Shacharis. But if anybody has any ideas how we could do so in an efficient, nice way, so we can give the Kavod Torah and the Kavod to all of us that have been learning the Torah, that'd be excellent. I wish to all a great day. And next Mishnah comes tomorrow.